Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Back in the day in porn mags, they used to say GFE, A-levels, guess what that is? O-levels, oral, A-levels, anal, GFE, girlfriend experience, BBW, big beautiful woman, big chunker, right? All these kind of stuff. That's the terminology.
How do you know all this?
That's the terminology. Right, good evening, everyone. It is episode 17 of Couples Quarantine. I'm James Haskell.
I'm Chloe Madeley.
You're Chloe Haskell, actually.
I'm Chloe Haskell.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm both.
Well, you sort of are. How are you doing?
I'm good. We've got beer again, so we're doing pretty good. Chin chin.
But not only do we have beer, we have another guest. Now, we're rolling out the big dogs one after the other. We have the wonderful TV presenter, comedian, off the Extra Factor after show, celebrity haunted, Matt Richardson. How are you, sir?
I'm really good, thanks. I'm flattered to be referred to as a big dog when I know that you've had some really good guests.
Like, yeah, you know, it's all relative. It's all relative.
It is. Yeah. Fair enough. I'm chuffed to be here. Like, I think it's going to be a good laugh.
No, we're so excited to have you. You are our second comedian, but I will say Jack Whitehall is a very private man. So actually coming on Couples Quarantine might have been a bit like a fish out of water situation for him.
But you know what though? Like, Jack is legitimately very, very famous.
Yes. Whereas,
so he doesn't want people to know things because like that can ruin like a Disney film deal.
Yeah.
Whereas like, what is there to ruin for me? Like, oh, you can't be the standby for the celebrity circle this year. Sorry, man. Like, I don't give a shit. There's no career. Oh, we're not going to let you back on Channel 5 star. All right, who gives a fuck?
Oi, Dave, your contract's fucked, chief.
Dave's a shit. Do you know?
I tore your photo.
That's absolutely fine. Like, yeah, the stakes are lower, so I'm going to be an open book in the hope that someone listening goes, "Well, give him a job." Brilliant.
Well, because actually, I listened to your I did some stand up. I went on YouTube and did the stand up.
Oh, yeah.
And there's that comedy club in Liverpool. I can't remember what.
Hot Water.
I actually follow the ginger bloke off it. I should probably learn his name.
Paul Smith, he's called.
Paul Smith. I like Paul Smith because I love his sort of, he's obviously a bit of the compere on the evening, and I saw it, and you were, one of your opening gambits, exactly what you said today was, I'm sort of at that stage where I'm kind of famous, but not famous enough for anyone to really be sure who I am. And
no,
sort of, you know.
It's like, I remember a few, like when I first did The Extra Factor, which was like the first thing I ever did on telly, like my first job. I've never quite managed to do anything that big again. I was filming in Times Square in New York. Me and we were stood there filming, and a woman came up to me and she went, "Excuse me, are you Matt Richardson?" And in front of all the crew, I was like, "Right, stand back, guys. Yeah, fucking yes, I'm Matt Richardson." And she went, "Oh, my son was in your class at school." And that's the kind of shit that happens to me constantly.
That's the level we're talking about. That's your level
much.
Of fame.
Oh, it's happening, guys. And then, oh no, it's just, they know
Babe,
me.
Babe, give it a couple of years and you're wishing that you could go back to that.
I've been hearing that for 7 years of my life. Give it a couple of years.
Hang on, how old are you though?
29.
Oh, fuck off.
I was about
fine.
To say though, I was about the joke.
You've got 2 decades to worry.
The joke I was going to go with though, because he's got a bit of a baby face thing. He's actually 42, but he's still living out of the fact that he's an up and coming comedian.
I've got a showbiz age of 29. That's what that's my Russell Kane age.
I was like, how old is Roman Kemp now? Because he still looks like he's about 18.
I think must be about 29 or 30.
And that, it just gives him extra years to work with.
Yeah. You know what? Roman's one of those as well where I've known Roman for a very long time. We don't know each other. Amazing.
Everybody knows Roman.
Yeah, but we sort of started off at the same level, and then I've just sort of seen him. Like, I'm basically waiting for him or Joel Dommett to die, and then I'll get the work.
You can feel their shoes.
Yeah,
you know what's so funny that you said that? Like, I saw River Phoenix on a thing today, and I said to James, like, I often wonder if he hadn't died, would Leonardo DiCaprio, who's the same age, the same look, used to get the same roles, would he have had the career that he had
exactly.
it not been for River Phoenix, which I know is a really morbid, horrible thing.
No, but it is weird. It's like those kind of weird events do launch people's careers, though, don't they?
100%,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, you look at the weird thing with, I mean, this morning in John Leslie's career falling apart is the reason Philip Schofield kind of got his second go. So 100%. It can happen. It, you know, it's these weird things in other people's lives going horribly can really benefit you.
I mean, honestly, talking about Joel Dommett, so actually I like Joel, having subsequently met him, but when I was on I'm a Celebrity, he was slightly poisoned tongue about me.
He did you in
He did me. He did
but now they're friends. It's so weird.
I like Joel, but it's one of those things where I have never forgotten. So I will give you this promise, Matt.
Fair enough.
If we're ever near a cliff edge or a set of stairs, I'll fuck him down. And I honestly,
I won't fuck him down.
I'll just go out. I'll just like that. I look around. I go, oh, Joel, so good to fuck off. Knock him down. I'll dust him. That'll be one less person to get. I quite like Roman, so I don't, you know, I don't.
No, fair enough. I don't expect you to do it twice. You know, just Joel out the way would be useful.
But you talked about reskilling and rethinking, you know, before the show came on, before we went there, we were talking about the fact that Paul O'Grady's been told to reskill and rethink as a bomb disposal expert. I'm happy to be a hitman because I've got nothing. I've got nothing going on apart from this podcast, and this podcast ain't paying the bills. Like this light over my shoulders costing more than we make in this podcast.
I mean, anything.
I mean, that's the beauty of podcasts. You're either making like a fortune, a la Joe Rogan, or you're making nothing. I'm like such a whore as well. I've got two podcasts and I'm still making no money. Like, I'm just double making nothing. I mean, if you kill these people, you could come on my podcast. That's the only currency I've got to offer at the moment. Right.
Oh, well, shut it out, because I promise you, when this is all over, everyone's going to feel a lot more safe and calm and less anxious and terrified about life.
Hopefully.
But that actually brings me really nicely on to my first question for you. How are you finding lockdown 2.0? And I know that you have a girlfriend because I've Instagram stalked you, and I wanted to ask if you were doing it together.
We are. So we've lived together we've had a flat together for like 3 and a bit years. We've lived together. So it's sort of business as usual, really. It's not like we decided to lock down together and, you know, it's been a big test on the relationship. But we both travel a lot with work, like doing comedy. She's a model, so she's away all the time. So it's the longest we've ever spent together without someone being away. And that was interesting. It's been fine, but it was, to begin with, we go like, oh, normally one of us is away a couple of nights a week. So you get a nice bit of time to watch your own things on telly, or if you're annoying each other, you have a nice reset every so often. So, you know, there have been a few days of arguments over nothing. We had an argument today actually, because I love my girlfriend. She's the best person ever. Like, we're a great match.
Oi, great way to start a story we're about to slag.
What I'm about to say is going to sound really disrespectful. She's very impatient. And if something is a minor inconvenience, like, she'll go, well, I can't be bothered with that.
Yep.
So today we've ordered a treadmill for lockdown two. And there was a bit of an issue with like the billing of the treadmill, and it didn't come through. So she's like, right, I'm calling American Express. I'm telling them that they've got to cancel it. They've got to give me my money back, and it was fraud. I'm like, that sounds harder than dealing with the treadmill. And we had a bit of an argument because I was going, really bad. I feel bad now because like it was actually a pain in the ass in the end for her. But I was like, oh, what inconvenience, and that's you giving it. You're throwing the towel. You're not used to it. You've had such a, you know, everything's been easy, so you can't deal with it. And then I felt really bad afterwards.
Yeah, you went from zero to 100.
Did you apologise?
The same.
Did you apologise?
No, we haven't apologised, but there has been a couple of jibes from her going, oh, well, you know, you did say that to me earlier and you were a bell end. Right. So, you know, like, it's been a bit tricky.
A bit tense.
Well, it's dissipated as the day's gone on, but like, she went out for a walk, came back, and there was a bit of tension.
Still, and also, and do you know what the best thing is? They're so good at moving on and forgetting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I do stand by that, like, she was throwing in the towel too early. I think we both acknowledged that we were both had things that were said that were wrong, neither of us have said that out loud, so we've just let it slide.
Oh, fine. It's an unknown thing, because I look at Chloe and I know full well that she's wrong, and I assume that she knows that she's wrong. Looking at me thinking the same thing, and it turns out we're not thinking anything of the sort. So maybe if you haven't said it, is it? She's probably going, you're a rude prick. And you're thinking, yeah, but she knew that she was being difficult and weak-minded.
No, but you know what? Like, but we've gone back to like normal life. So I know that we both have acknowledged that there was a fault on both sides. There's sometimes where I go, look, there's fault on my side, and I'll try and go back to normal, but that isn't possible because Sam is definitely holding out for an apology. which is fine. When I've been in the wrong, I'm happy to apologise. And it goes the other way. Like, she'll be normal with me when I don't want to give an apology. But today we accepted it was a draw.
Do you know, it's really interesting. There's so many parallels there. So I'm really impatient. I get it from my dad. I have no fucking patience. And if something goes wrong, I'm like, no. Like, if I've got a plan that I've been looking forward to for like a week and one thing goes wrong, I'm like, fuck it, I'm not going. Like, that's to a T, right?
And that's James, very similar.
Yeah, and James is always like, why do you all, if one thing, if there's one chink in the road, if there's one thing that doesn't go right, you fuck it all off and you're da da da. And then just like, well, I don't know if it's just like you, because James is, and I'm sure you'll admit, quite aggressive when he loses his temper. So then he goes from like zero to 100 in a second. He's like, and you're a fucking ugly. And then he'll go off and off and off, right?
Don't create
and
ugly.
I'm like,
so then
we come full circle. And then he's the one that then needs space to calm down. So I have to sit and wait for him to calm down, and then you better fucking believe once he's calm, he ain't apologising, because as far as you're concerned, you ain't never in the wrong. But I like that Matt is aware that he might have to apologise at some
point. Might have to. I'm aware I might have to, but I don't
know what though. I've found recently, especially in lockdown with neighbours and stuff, like I've done we got on really well with our neighbours, but there was something to do with shared bins and I left a load of stuff out. But and my neighbour got in touch with me and was like, this is really unacceptable, blah, 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 to our whole group of our building. There's three flats in our building. And I found an apology puts people, they're so not expecting you to apologise in the off that it really dissipates any tension. So I'm very quick to apologise. Whenever I do anything wrong, I'm straight in with the apology because I don't love an argument, really. No, like, I can do it, but I don't, you know, I'm a comedian. I professionally argue with people, basically. So I don't want a busman's holiday. So I'm straight in there with the sorries as often as possible.
It does work. I remember when I used to work in Topshop in Oxford Circus when I was saving up for my gap year. And I remember I was in replen, which is basically replenishing the shop floor with clothes. Yeah. And you literally go from the basement up to the top floor and your arms are like burning, like on fire. And people would dawdle, and I have no patience, so I hate dawdlers. And I'd be like, and then it would build up. And then I'd basically like cough rudely or be like, excuse me, in a really aggressive way. And the second that someone turned around and was like, oh my God, I'm really sorry, the guilt. I was like, no, yeah, it's okay. It really works. So I think this is a lesson.
Yeah, I mean, let me explain to you, you know, that feeling of guilt, it just doesn't come because I'm fully aware that I'm right. And the issue is, what Chloe has always done has weaved a tapestry of bollocks that she's selling to our listeners. What let's be very clear. When there's this one disappointment or this problem, Chloe operates the Khrushchev scorched earth policy. So, for example, say on a Saturday we are planning something and on a Monday there is a chink in the armour. The preceding 6 days will be utter fucking carnage as she is just scorching earthing everything until we get to the day. And do you know what? By the end of it, I've wanted to kill her, right? I'm going to put my hands out there. I have to go into a room and give myself a really bad Chinese burn, like stab myself with a biro. And then what happens is we'll get to Saturday and it'll be fine. But then what's happened is I'm so fucked off. We'll have a lovely day and she'll be like, why are you in such a mood? I'll be like, because I've had 6 days of torture, you crazy cow.
You know what, though? The thing is, like, when there's, like, if there's any strife or struggle in my life in any way, like if it's with work or life, because I'm such a self-involved narcissist, because I'm a comedian, I always think, like, if something doesn't go my way, I'm just like, oh my God, this is going to be such a great story in my autobiography. No autobiography is good if you haven't had a bit of struggle. When it does go my way, I'm going to have the best chat show stories. I'm going to sit there and be like, well, Graham, you know, it was a struggle for a long time. Like that, I fantasize about things going wrong so I can have that one day.
What a great way to view life.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think it is going, well, one day I'm going to be so famous, everyone's going to hear about it.
No, but I just released my autobiography, right?
And
And I did that. Sunday Times bestseller, if you're asking, but it doesn't matter.
I am asking. That's absolutely, that's wonderful, mate.
Thank you.
Like, genuinely, don't throw that away. That's an incredible achievement. I hate it when people are like, don't be shy and coy about the fact you've got a number one Times bestselling autobiography. Shout that from the rooftop.
I will do. Well, I have been. I've got one of those cars with speakers on it. Like, neighbours, people of Northamptonshire, your king is here. What?
No, nothing. Nothing, carry on.
But what I had with that, though, is again, everything was, this is a great story. And yeah, on all the time, my dad always told me when I was younger, he's like, listen, just make notes of some of the funnier bits and pieces because they will come to play. And I sort of kept a few notes. And amazing. When it came
that's
to a
so story, good.
It suddenly all comes out. And then, of course, you never let the truth get in the way of a good story. Obviously, with I'm not a comedian, but you're a comedian. With the spice and spin you can put on it, I love that. So you should be proud of that. Do that all the time.
I wish. Talking about keeping notes, my mum told me when I first started doing, when I first got on telly and I was doing kind of like unusual, interesting things, she was like, you need to keep a diary because you'll forget half of this and it's really interesting and like, you know, because unusual things happen all the time in the kind of jobs us three do. And I think I really wish I had. I'm so jealous you've done it. Because otherwise because all the time I was chatting to a mate the other day and he's like, do you remember when this happened? I was like, no, I don't really know what you're on about there, mate. So, because, you know, I spent a lot of the last 7 years absolutely battered. So,
yeah, you know. So it's like the entryway into showbiz. You're like, now I'm going to be drunk 5 nights in the week and get home at 5 a.m.
So you should really keep you should really keep notes on all that.
Yeah, but you should, on your old iPhone, you know, the notes on your iPhone or whatever.
Yeah.
I honestly, if something happens, if I go to a dinner and I see someone says something quite funny or, you know, like...
Anything he can plagiarise.
Yeah, basically plagiarise, but also you get weird, you know, fan comments, things. Where, you know, one of the things I always talk about is this bloke came up to me outside the Waitrose in, very middle class, in Northamptonshire and was like, mate, can I just stop you there? And I was like, what? And he goes, I used to think you were a fucking prick. And I'm like... Oh my God! Of all the fit, why have you chosen to do that? And he's gone. But actually, I've seen you play for England recently, and I think you're a fucking top guy. And walked off. And I'm like,
amazing.
But really, a compliment.
What? Like, it's like he shit on me with one hand, but then he offered me a paper towel with the other.
That's a really English thing. Like even me, and I'm on the other side of this. I live in quite a nice area where people have got really nice cars, and there's a bloke who lives opposite me who has got a really nice, like, Aston Martin, like a racing Aston Martin, and it's beautiful. And every time I see him get in his car, I think, I bet he's a cunt, right? For whatever reason, then he owns a really love. And I park next to his car because I know he's not going to ding my doors. Like, I'm fucking smart, but I'm always like, and he's a nice guy. They seem like a nice, happy, like, keeps himself to himself, no problem. I always go, I bet he's a cunt. Just because he's got a nice car. It's such an English
syndrome thing. It's English tall poppy syndrome. It's like, nobody wants to be better, you know, in an LA and America, they want this aspirational, the American dream is a thing. There's no English dream.
It's
the English dream
is
if you do anything like, you know, the American flag, right, that's important. The St. George's flag is worn by racists and people who like to beat up, you know, foreign people. And they're not really caring immigrants, you know, and that's it.
An England rugby player.
Yeah, but I don't wear the St. George's flag because I wore one out once. It's like, they were like, do you work for the BNP? I was like, no, I don't.
Yeah. It's such a problem, isn't it? It's this kind of like... You can't even be proud of what you do.
Chloe, what you said about her dad. Her dad told me this story, actually, before we move on to talking actually what we fucking got on the show for was.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, I've just been chatting, haven't we?
I love a guest who just talks, man. It makes our life so much easier.
Chloe's dad was in Cornwall, right? And he reckons he's walking atop this cliff path. And this bloke is like walking towards him. He's walking, and you can see this bloke's like clocked him. And there's a distance of probably maybe 15 seconds where this bloke, and he can see in his mind, this guy wants to say something. And he's like working up to it. And he's looking, he's not making eye contact. And he gets up to Richard. He goes, are you Richard Madeley? And
I don't know.
He goes, yes. He goes, I hate y'all, and everything you've ever stand for, and everything you've ever done on TV. I think you should know that. And then just quickly walked off. And that was like, he'd built up to it. Like, he'd obviously wanted that on his chest for years. And on a cliff path in Cornwall, had spotted his nemesis.
His moment.
And then, you know, he's never going to regret that again.
Look, the only thing about that I'm stunned by is that anyone can hate your dad. Like, I'm obsessed with your dad. As I imagine, people always... And I think your dad transcends love and hate. Your dad is like this entity...
Jesus of the early morning TV.
I always work at, like, you know, always, you know what it's like, you get asked to develop TV shows. And when we talk about guests, in every development meeting I've ever been in, we're like, so we're going to have this guest on. And we always, like, role play it with Richard Madeley. So I've got a podcast. Me and Matt Willis from Busted do a podcast together about guilty pleasures. And we're coming up with the TV version at the moment, like, if anyone's interested. And we're always like, so they're going to come on and their confessions, it's going to be Richard Madeley. Well, I love shoving mini bottles of Jack Daniels up my arse.
How do you know that?
It's a lucky guess.
Is it all the miniature? Is it all of the miniatures in condoms in the bin outside the house?
It's such a public persona view of my dad. Like, what is it? Like Troy McClure from The Simpsons?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hi, I'm
Troy McClure.
He fancies fish or something. Yeah.
But always, whenever we're in a meeting, it just so happens that, like, he's always like our kind of like celebrity we'd love to book. I think there is a lot of money to be made in an Osborne style documentary that just follows your dad round.
Did you see,
I would watch that to death. I'm sorry that we're just talking about your dad.
I love it, he's my best mate.
I think your dad is like such a sort of part of the tapestry of Britain. He's uncancellable, like no cancel culture. Like it could turn up, they're like, I was at a car boot sale and I found this copy of Mein Kampf and it's got annotations from Richard Madeley in. And the public could be like, of course he did, what a legend.
Absolutely. Of course he did.
What a diamond.
Dickie the Nazi.
You cheeky bastard. You know, I do live quite near your mum and dad, and I do see them from time to time. Like, we live like in the same neck of the woods. And I don't know your dad. Like, we were with the same agency for a while. You know, we've both done a few things. I've met you before. I know Jack. But I just think, like, I don't want to talk to him because, like, he's on such a pedestal for me.
Well, you know that I spend a lot of time. I've got a bit of a property nightmare, which I won't bore anybody with at the moment in London. So I'm spending a lot of time at their place. So if I see you when I'm with him, I walk with him every day to Hampstead. If I see you when I'm with him, that's it. Your day has come.
Hey, I mean, look, I mean, I lived on the high street for a long time. I live just over the Heath now. No, it was awful, actually. I mean, not to be like first world problems, but it's so noisy on Hampstead High Street. Like,
Shut up. Fuck off.
Like, no,
it's a dream.
I had to move to Highgate. Like, it's been a nightmare. Come on.
I had to move five minutes up the road.
The career's not going that badly if you're fucking living around there, neck of the woods. Live in a bin in a field somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've got a much more successful girlfriend. That's why I live in Highgate.
Ah, right.
Okay. I'm very much a kept man.
Excellent.
This is Couples Quarantine.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Couples Quarantine. Now, I know, Chloe, you've been snooping around and actually worked out a little bit about what's going on today, but this episode is sponsored by Athletic Greens, a comprehensive nutritional beverage.
Yeah, with so many stresses in life, it can be really difficult to get in enough fruit and veg, aka micronutrients that our bodies really need. But this is where Athletic Greens can help you out. Their daily all-in-one greens powder is easily added to your day-to-day life with zero worry or fuss.
Do you know what? It's actually really tasty, because some green supplements are a little bit ugh, but Athletic Greens does an awesome job packing in 75 vitamins, minerals and whole food source ingredients, including multivitamins, minerals, probiotics, green superfoods. I know I sound like an absolute keto scientist here, but of course I read the boxes. It was my daily reading for the day. It also increases energy and focus and aids with digestion and supports a healthy immune system, all without the need, I won't believe this, to take multiple products.
Athletic Greens is one formula based on the latest research, investing in absorbable and natural sources of each ingredient and going above and beyond in third-party testing to ensure that their customers receive the highest quality supplement.
It's lifestyle friendly whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free or gluten-free, no thanks, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar without compromising on taste. And I've tried this and I agree. I give it my Haskell seal of approval.
So right now, Athletic Greens will support your immune system during the winter months, and they're offering our audience a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit the link today. You'll basically never have to buy vitamin D again.
Sorry, did you say a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs?
Yes.
Can I claim that?
I'm sure you can.
I know it's insider trading, but all you have to do to win this incredible prize is simply visit athleticgreens.com/couples and join health experts, Chloe, athletes, me and health conscious go-getters around the world to make a daily commitment to their health every day. Again, for the Slow Reader Group, simply visit athleticgreens.com/couples and get your free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs.
Couples Quarantine.
She is gorgeous, and I actually really like the photos that you post of each other. They're very real. They're not like Instagram kind of.
Yeah.
What's the word? Thanks. Like perfect. Like they're lovely. So I guess I actually really wanted to ask you, what is it like on the dating scene as a comedian? Because I reckon it's very easy to get hot girls into bed. And given that every comedian I know has either dated, married, or is dating or married to a model, quite clearly, it's not that hard for you guys.
You know what, though? I think there's this big thing I really believe in, that funny gives you an extra 2 points in the 10 out of 10 scale. So, yeah. Like, in normal life, I might be a 6, right? But I'm funny, so I'm an 8. Like, and that people, I think that really works. And I think that works for both sexes, actually. Yeah. Like, I've got a mate she's probably the funniest person I know. And she's always with like a ridiculous bloke. Yeah. And because she's fun. Like, I think making people laugh and like being like, you know, if you're nice to be around, then it's great. But actually, like, comedians realistically dating, like, most of them are miserable fucks.
Yes.
Like, Joel Dommett is really lovely to be around, has a beautiful wife, right? All the
ones
that are lovely to be around.
She's ridiculous. When I met her at the NTAs, I was like, fuck off with that face.
I can't possibly comment, but...
So, like, yeah, it's one of those. But I wouldn't want to date a comedian. Like, we're a nightmare, because you got to think, right? You date a musician, like, they're going to write love songs about you. You know, like, going out with Ed Sheeran, like, he's written, you know, he writes songs about you that are going to be massive hits, amazing. Like, you write a comedian, you go out with a comedian, you know the most horrendous things that happen in your life are going to end up on stage being told to everybody. Like, my girlfriend hates it. Like, everything she's like, please don't ever turn that into a routine, always is the stuff that is absolutely going to be a routine. Like,
do you have arguments about it? Do you have arguments about it?
No. So, I've got a routine about my girlfriend, which I think I told you, I sort of mentioned. I've got a routine that is based around a story of that she was so shit-faced, I had to remove her tampon for her. Because
yeah,
she
I
want to
hear this story.
We need to hear this because we haven't heard this.
So basically, like, it is what it says on the tin. Like, she was battered and I was getting her undressed to put her to bed. And she's like, my girlfriend's very northern as well when she's drunk. She's like, my fucking tampon's still in. So I'm like, so I take her tampon out and like, we're having a bit of a laugh about it. And then about 6 months later, I was writing a new show and she was like, oh, you should do a bit about how you have to get me undressed to put me to bed. And I was like the tampon bit. She's like, not like the tampon bit. No. Of all the things. But that's what I wrote about. I wrote about this tampon thing. And I do it live and she doesn't mind it. But then recently I did a stand-up show on telly and they were like, can you please do the tampon bit? We'd really like you to do it. And it's a show on ITV where you recreate your routines as sketches. So I'd have had to have acted it out with another person. And she put her foot down and went, please, can you not do that? Like, I don't mind you doing it live, but I don't think I can watch another girl pretending to be me have a tampon removed.
Going, my fucking tampon's still in.
You need to take out my tampon and my contact lenses like that, you know. Like,
oh, how would you take contact lenses out? I'd rather take the tampon.
I've done it before. It's fucking tricky. I've had to take her contact lenses out loads of times. But so we don't have arguments about it, because also, like, there's been a couple of times where she's gone, look, can you actually not? And I've kind of gone, yeah, all right, fair enough.
I mean, yeah, I think I would really find it hard. Like, there have been times where you've told not so glowing stories about me and vice versa, actually. And then the other one will be like, oh, I kind of wish you hadn't. And it's like, and if you're with a comedian, all of that gets used.
I've
like,
monetized it.
yeah, like, it's you have. And like, I do remember Russell Kane, like, this whole second half of his stand-up, of the last one that I went to, is about how much of a nightmare his missus is when she gets pissed, which is fucking gold. But I bet she was like, you don't talk about what you're like when you're fucking pissed.
Of course you don't, because once again, like, you talk about writing your autobiography, you know, you're the one that gets to spin it because you're the one telling the story. And there are things, like, she said the one of the worst moments in her life. I was on tour and she came with her dad. And I really like her dad. We get on really well. But, like, she had to sit next to her dad whilst I, for 10 minutes, described taking a tampon out of her vagina. And she said the worst part about it was he laughed more than anybody else.
Yeah, dads don't care about that.
Yeah, and it's weird because I when he first came to see me live, like, I had some jokes about, like, our sex life, like a few little silly jokes. Like, I've got a joke about that she doesn't like. But
excellent.
I've got a joke about her being... she's from Yorkshire, and I love going out with a girl from Yorkshire, except the only downside is when we have sex, she sounds like the Churchill dog. And I go, oh, yes. and she really hates that joke.
Yeah.
And, well, I remember
is it because it's so true?
Yeah, it is. Oh, right. Yeah, fucking.
Oh, yeah, fucking. I love it.
Boy,
oh,
if,
lick
if
me,
you,
cunt.
Oh, my
if
God.
If you were my boyfriend, I would kick off at that. I'd be like, you're making me unsexual to every other person in the world.
To interrupt you, I had a, like, before you go, because I want to hear the rest of it, but I had a situation once many moons ago when I was single, having sex with this girl from Wales. And she was like, oh, if, and I was like, having sex from behind. And I was banging her, and she goes, oh, I fucking, do you know, I fucking love English cock. And I went, no, I think you mean we love my cock. Like half the time it stopped. She went, no, I just fucking love English cock. And I was like, ah, you horrible girl. Okay, I'll carry on.
There's another one you should tell about the changing lanes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you.
Sorry, what, changing lanes?
Yeah, I'll tell you. So,
very good.
So this
I
is
need
so
to
good
hear
thing.
This.
A former teammate of mine was having sex with a girl from behind, and we could probably do a whole show on this actually, because there's a lot of lads like trying to sneak it up the bum without permission, and it's guys that are having sex from behind.
Naughty,
and what
guys,
happened is
don't
it,
do
and
that.
It slipped out and went in her ass, right? And
it just went in.
It just went in, right? And you know, and this bird just turned around and went, change your lanes. No, where is she from? From
Bristol.
Here. Changing lanes, are we? Fair play. And just fucking carried on. Oi, didn't
the
even
is,
just bat an eyelid.
Accents are funny. That's the like, so Sam also, like, she doesn't sound, like, absolutely doesn't sound how I make her sound on stage. And she really hates that, which is fair, because I make her sound like a Yorkshire trucker. Whereas actually she's got a beautiful voice and she sounds amazing. But also, like, because of her job, like, you know, you've seen photos of her, Chloe. Like, she's tall gorgeous. And beautiful, and she does, like, you know, she's been the face of Chanel makeup and, like, you know, all these huge brands. And then when you meet her, she is quite northern, and people don't expect it. So I think that difference between assumption and what you are is really funny. So people, like, with a Bristolian accent, it's like on Love Island. Was it last year when there was that girl from Bristol? What was her name?
No, I didn't watch it last year.
Oh, there was a girl from Bristol.
I know exactly what you mean.
And she's absolutely, like, stunning and really lovely girl, but she's Bristolian, and that's the funniest accent of all of them.
Yeah, it,
like,
is the best accent. Here, change your name. All right, everyone? Everyone okay? Oh, I tell you what, I fucking loves. I'd love to get out of the piss with you. You'd be like, sorry.
I exactly. think you're right, though. It humanises people, and it humanises them in a really endearing, entertaining, like,
absolutely
humorous way.
Do you remember when I first started going out with Sam, like, her best mate as well, her best mate Charlotte is from St. Helens, and she's, like, absolutely amazing. She's one of my best friends, and she's got this St. Helens accent, and she's got quite a husky voice, and, like, together, ooh, they're, like, 5'10", beautiful kind of models, whatever. And then I'd introduce them to my friend, and Sam's like, hey, how you doing, mate? Nice to meet you. And then Charlotte sounds like Johnny Vegas. He's like, hey, yeah, you're right. And you're just like, and it blows people's minds. I really like that, because it makes them, like you say, it humanises them, it makes them real people.
I love it. One of my brother's best girl mates, Claire, she's fucking wicked. She's from, like, the dark depths of Manchester, and she's amazing. Like, when you get drunk, obviously she comes to, like, all our family weddings, so I've had a lot of fun with her at weddings, and she'll just get absolutely battered. She's tiny, she's like 5 foot nothing, and she'll just, like, march up to you on the dance floor, and then before she does, like, a whip turn around, she'll go, I love, and then turn around and then march off again. And I'm like, you're the fucking best person.
The North
ever.
Is the best of us as a
do you remember
nation.
Do you remember the who was the lady that did the Melanie Sykes, the Boddington advert? Do you remember?
Absolutely.
That was that put northern women on the map. That for me, you know.
My dad sometimes refers to my girlfriend as the Boddington's girl. Weird story though. Yeah. You know, earlier on you said that Joel Dommett was a bit acid tongued.
Yes.
So I had that experience with Mel Sykes, and now Mel Sykes is a very nice woman, right? I really like her now. But
she's a really good friend of mine. I want to know this story.
So I went out to, when she did I'm a Celeb, like you did I'm a Celeb, I went out and did the spin-off show. You know, they send people out for like a few days. You know, your dad's on it quite often, because I always watch. Yeah. And I went out, and I thought Mel Sykes was being unreasonable in this whatever episode I was talking about. And I was very vocal about it. And about 6 to 8 months later, I decided I was doing a job at Wimbledon. And I decided part of the deal was I was doing this presenting thing at Wimbledon. I got some tickets. I went, and who are we sat next to but Mel Sykes? And Mel Sykes was like, you're that prick that had a go at me. And I was like, ah, yeah, I did. And she, like, really told me off for having a go, like, for moaning about her on a spin-off show. And then she made mates with my mum. They're friends now. They exchange texts.
I I tell you what about Mel Sykes, right? She is a ballsy bitch. She's fit, she's cool, she's funny, she's like just a 10 out of 10. I swear to God, if you step over the mark with her at any point, she'll fucking tell you about it. Like, I know personal trainers. Like, I used to train with her a lot and we used to hang out a lot. And I know a lot of trainers who've trained with her because the girl knows how to move around a gym, right? And then they've basically organized it. So they've been papped with her or they've taken a selfie with her or whatever. And then they've been like, I'm training Mel Sykes. And she has, it's happened 2 or 3 times that no bee in her bonnet about going right up to them and being like, you don't fucking train me. I trained with you. She's ballsy.
She really had a go at me. And I was kind of like, look, I'm a comedian. I get employed on these shows to sort of say things that like, and also my reputation, I've been on all of that. I always say that stuff. Like, that's why they book me. And we kind of talked it out. She had a go at me. I kind of went, look, I'm sorry. Like, you seem very nice. And then she's been lovely. And then she's got, my brother's got autism and she's really close to autism as well, Mel. So her and my mum like talk about, like they share advice and things like that. So she said what she had to say and then it was fine. But it was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life.
So I didn't
I've never told that story before.
I didn't say what I wanted to say to Joel because Revenge is a dish you know what, best mate? Served cold.
Look,
so I'm just
like, I know Joel is like very buff and stuff, but like, Joel and I are cut from the same cloth, right? We're kind of comedians. We're quite similar guys. Like, I would never say shit about a man that looked like you.
Do
you know what I mean?
I actually do love Joel,
but I've
never forgotten, though. It's just every time I see him, I'm like, I will kill you one day.
I've never had a bad thought about you, and I'm scared of you.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the fuck he was playing at.
Big softy. When Chloe, I just want to ask, so before you met your lovely partner,
yes,
did you always volunteer what you did to girls? Because I assume, because people say that, you know, the way to keep a woman happy is with humour. And you said you get a couple of extra points. But did you try to hide what you did? Because was there a couple of times they were like, go on then, entertain me?
Yeah.
No, you know what? Never. When you're meeting someone like for a date or something like that, like, people are never interested. Like, they're not worried about you being a comedian. They're quite interested in it. It's because it's an unusual job, you know. But the people are only ever like, come on, make me laugh. Like, if they've had a few drinks at the pub, like, you'll meet someone and they'll do it. But actually, like, dating, I'd always say I was a comedian.
Have you ever had any insane sort of, you know, bad dating stories? And we had Jack Whitehall basically said that he went into a restaurant and ordered a bottle of wine, and the maitre d' came over and basically upsold him to a £500 bottle of wine. And then he bought sizzling teriyaki, and the waiter spilt the red wine into the sizzling teriyaki, which exploded into his face, blinding him and also ruining his shirt. So I wondered if you've sort of had any moments where you've tried, because obviously I know we're tongue in cheek, but you know, you have a level of fame, and I wonder whether if you try to keep it on the low down, or do you have these awkward moments?
No, so, I mean, when I first, I was never, before I was on telly and stuff, like, I was never, like, a shagger, really. Like, I'm just, that's never been, like, my
sorry, style. I mean, not, you can't be, you know.
We can't all be, like, you know, international rugby stars.
Yeah.
Some of us just, you know, some of us are just like third tier comedians. And so when I got on telly, like, I really lent into it. Like, I had a fair bit of sex, which I wasn't having before.
You maximised it.
And also, like, so there was this girl in my hometown who I'd always fancied. Like, we were kind of like, you know, we'd always sort of like been mates, but I'd really fancied her. And I think she knew it and quite liked it. And then we went on a date together like years and years ago. And I was like, oh, this was really fun. She finally went on a date with me. And I was like, this is really fun. And I went, we should do this again. And she went, oh, I'm busy. And I went, like, forever. And she went, yeah, I'm busy forever. And then I got on telly and she became very interested in me. So, you know, we went on a few more dates and, you know, did the deed. And then I was like, well, you only slept with me because you're shallow. So bye. See you later.
Love you for that. I never understood girls like that. And I know that maybe it's because I come from a privileged kind of area in terms of like fame, and
no one's ever going to be more famous than your dad, so who gives a shit?
Well, I mean, I don't know, Ryan Gosling
or
maybe
the Queen.
But
she's not going to lick out the Queen though, is she? Like, let's
be
honest.
God.
Well, you don't know my wife. I mean, if that
well, is that, is treat that it
in
a- like, I mean, she probably just goes, treat it like it's my head on a stamp, you know.
Yeah, and then- yeah.
Treat very me like good. A lady. Oh, I like that. Yeah. No, what was it? Yeah, but I never understood that. And I always found it... I was always really surprised, right? I used to date an actor who's quite well known, and he would tell me these stories about all these women that he'd basically shagged because he was famous and well known and people knew who he was. And I was always like, how could you do that? Do you not find that the biggest turn off ever? And he was like, no, Chloe, it's sex. I'm a man. I get it where I can take it. It's that simple. And I was like, I genuinely don't think I could do that. Like, if I... Yeah, I mean, but then I don't know if I'm...
You know what, though? I did it for a little bit and then it kind of like very quickly wore off. And then I met like my girlfriend before my current girlfriend, which is a whole other disaster we can talk about later on. I did it a bit, and then there was one girl. I remember there was this girl that kind of from my hometown, very like lovely, beautiful girl, and like we'd never really known each other, and just sort of started talking to me online and things, and she was really nice. And I was like, oh, I've got to go to this like event. Do you want to come? And we went to this like really big charity thing, you know, like a dinner and all this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then then she was very interested, and then we were out after this event. We'd gone for drinks with the guy that had organised it, Ashley Tabor from Global Radio. Like it was a Global Radio thing, right?
Yeah.
And then very quickly, she basically went, I want to be a presenter and how can I do it to him? And I was like, oh, that's the only reason you've kind of come to this. And then it was really icky. And then like I was staying in a hotel because I didn't live in London. And she was like, oh, I'm going to come and stay at the hotel with you. And I was like, cool, well, I've got work in the morning, so I'm going to sleep. And she was like, no, let's do all the sexy things. And I was like, no, because like you did that you sort of showed your hand and it was really like icky. Like it made me feel a bit...
Ugh. That's the word for it, icky. When people like come up to other famous people, we saw it, didn't we, recently? We won't tell the story because it'll embarrass people. We saw it recently with a friend of ours who's in the public eye and other friends of ours. And it was so... icky is the right word for it, where you're like, this is really uncomfortable to
like,
watch.
She'd been like really nice all night, but then all of a sudden, like to this really powerful guy, she was like, how can I want to work, like what can you help me with? And I was like, mm-mm. Come on mate, you work in marketing, like just give it a break for give it more than one evening to like,
yeah.
We all have normal jobs before we do this, right? A lot of us, that's fine, but come on, just give it a second go of meeting someone that rather than going, make me famous, please.
You've won though, you know, because being a bit, you're a bit of a heartthrob. Didn't you win Weirdest Crush or something like that?
I won Heat Magazine's Weird Crush in 2014. And I tell you what, I campaigned hard for it. When they nominated me, because it's like a public vote.
Is it?
I was like, yeah, I was like, there's no point being further down the list. Do you know?
I'm going to push it.
I'm going to be, you know, like I think Russell Howard won it one year and he said, there's no point, you're king of the munters. So you might as well be king. Because like the year afterwards, 2015, I came fifth. And that wasn't that I'd gotten sexier. I'd just gotten less famous.
And you were like, I don't want some bullshit mediocrity. I want number one or nothing.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I had a tour to promote at the time and I knew they really pushed that competition hard. So I really went for it. Like, and I did a sexy photo shoot in Heat Magazine as a fire.
Shit,
yeah, as a fireman. Policeman. Yeah, it was like an ironic, sexy photo shoot.
Ironic, well, it became ironic, but it was deadly serious at the time. You were like, this is really professional. I mean, and then you were like, irony.
No, like, I'm totally in on the joke here, guys. Like, when they were all taking the photos and laughing, I was like, yeah, so funny, isn't it? This isn't... soul destroying that you're laughing at me at all.
But this is part and parcel of like being known. I mean, I always said that I look like my dad in a wig and I'm okay with that.
And
I mean,
I'm into a dad. And now I've got a dad in a wig.
I just want to say,
with
very
a pair
lucky
of boobs.
Man.
With a pair of boobs. Without a willy. So I'm winning.
You know what? Have the full experience. You know, when you're getting amorous, just put an earpiece in and have someone yelling, don't say that at the same time. Yeah. And then it's like being Judy.
That's fucking, how did you know?
Yeah. That's what we're into. I've already got a headset, like I'm landing a plane. Richard, stop doing that. I'm like, Richard, please keep doing it.
What you should do is if that's your thing, just count down to ejaculation, like you're going into a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 5, 4,
what was I going to say?
That's the weirdest thing I've ever talked about on a podcast.
Well, imagine a dad when he fucking hears this.
He'll love
does
it.
He listen to this?
No, but the Daily Mail keep taking it and put it on the internet. Like, there's a story where Chloe's an agony aunt for The Sun, right? And she basically did a sex column. And what The Sun did, instead of like
doing the right way. They took Pits of the Sun column, stitched me up with it, made it like an actual story.
A sex exclusive.
Basically, my wife had admitted that I'd slept with 1,000 women, which is
was a tongue-in-cheek hyperbolic
really
answer.
It's way higher. Like, the fuck's she talking about, right? And she made it manageable for the average punter in the street who ain't that bright. And then they were like, sex exclusive.
You can't count beyond 1,000.
Yeah, exactly. Can't get to 1,000. You know, and then basically, my mum... She was like, oh. And my mum is like perpetually ashamed of me. Like, she's so proud. She's so proud, but so ashamed. And because of that generation much like looking over the fence at each other and like, you know, because there's a real thing called, Chloe told me, called a bitch whistle, where basically women say shitty comments. Say shitty comments to other women.
Only other women can hear it. So it's like, and nobody else in the room can hear it. But if one woman says something really cutting to another woman, everyone will carry on eating their canapes and drinking their drinks. But the other woman will be like, what the
Once you know about it, you hear it and you're giving yourself a go, oh my God, I love your hair. It's so brave you've done that. And everyone's like, oh, she likes your hair. She's
so
like,
so brave you've done
yeah.
You know what? I once got a bitch whistle. And I mean, if the Daily Mail are going to pick this up, great. So when I was on Virgin Radio for years and then Chris Evans joined.
Yes.
And Chris Evans once gave me a bitch whistle. Chris Evans, the first time I ever met him, I was like, oh, hi, I'm Matt. And he went, oh, yeah. He goes, you do stand-up as well, don't you? I went, yeah. He goes, you know what? I've never met anyone who could do stand-up and radio and do them both well.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And it wasn't until, like, it was one of those where it was like, I didn't realise he'd insulted me until like 3 days later. And I was sat doing something and I was like, oh, that wasn't him saying I can do both.
And then you were like anxious and then outraged all at once because you were like, fuck, that happened and it passed me by. And
but also at the time I was like, at the time he said it, I was like, oh, thanks very much, mate. Cheers. Yeah, that's great.
I am doing the both
Chris
well.
Evans, but that was not that well. What he was saying. No, Chris Evans does that well. I've seen and heard him do that many times. So
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
have you had any mad stalkers? Because, you know, I had one particular one that went on for like 6 years.
Did you?
Really? Yeah, I've told you a story.
Well, you married her, didn't you?
I did.
Hey, I hated him. Thank you very much. Oh, I know the girl in. Yeah, I know
the girl. Yeah, this girl like basically pretended she moved to France and was pretending. She pretended she died, and then, you know, she was in a coma, and she was like,
she faked her own.
Yeah,
death.
She was like four different personalities, pretending she was Tom Ford's PA. It was so bizarre. But I wondered if you've had any sort of really keen fans or mad stalkers.
You know what? No, I think I don't. I've not really had any stalkers because I am obtained. Like, it's, do you know what I mean? Like, you'd stalk someone that is beyond your grasp, whereas I think people just go, well, I could meet him and be his mate or go out with him, so you don't really need to stalk me.
Fine.
I did have a woman from America who used to, like, had never talked to me ever, but every so often, like every week or so, would just send me like a naked video on Instagram, like would private message me, and I was like, I don't know what she wants. Like, am I meant to, like, what? And I'd show my girlfriend, I'd show Sam and be like, this girl's sending me these weird videos. And we'd have a right old laugh about
it. I had that similar woman, like a similar thing I said to Chloe. Because I can see Chloe's always looking at me, like, you know, those lazy, laser beady eyes. She get dick pics all the time. And we've talked about it on other shows where lads are sitting at home and they're so horned up. They're like, fucking hell. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to fire this over to Chloe Maidley. She's going to see it and she's going to go, poor, I want to sit on that now, deliver that. Instead of the reality, which is, what are you doing, you sick fuck? So I never get any of this stuff. And then I had this one girl that kept sending me, and I had to be like, I'm like this. Happened that she's nervous, like, Chloe.
I feel like she was really, she had a really good body.
Yeah, she did.
And also,
body.
Like, this girl, she was very attractive, and we were both like, do you think she's real? And like, you go through you know, when you can tell someone's Instagram is real or not really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You have a good look. And I was like, she lives in LA, so she doesn't want to do any of this. Like, obviously, like, this is all a bit weird. But also, like,
this is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Like what are you meant to do with, like, she's just kind of gone, that's enough.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, hello. And yeah. I go, oh yeah, fair play. Me and my girlfriend go, yeah, good looking girl. But also, like, my girlfriend would go, you need to block her. And I'd be like, well, let's not be so hasty.
yeah, that's what he's like too.
She's made the effort. Like, she's not said anything offensive. She's not a racist.
Yeah.
She's just putting herself out
she's
there.
She's not a Trump supporter. She's not a Trump supporter.
She's just, you know what? She's shooting her shot. Why am I going to punish the girl for that?
I want to do the same thing. What's
we've
the
got,
problem?
We get people who write into us with questions. Asking advice.
We wanted to ask you some of them because we think you're fucking funny.
Okay, yeah. Thanks very much. Cheers.
No sure. Okay. Are you ready? The title of this question is, can fuck buddies actually be just that? Hi, guys. I have a bit of a fun story to share here. Please keep me anonymous. With the big question at the end being, can fuck buddies actually be just that? I began chatting to a girl online that I knew through living in the same area and going to the same school, but her name was all that I knew about her. She'd been single for some years, so we came to the agreement that we would be fuck buddies for the time being. I made it very clear to her that I was not interested in entering into a relationship, and she agreed.
Wanted to enter into something, but not...
And she agreed that she didn't want a relationship either. But would you believe it? We ended up falling in love, becoming exclusive pretty quickly, and we've now been together for 5 years. Now, the
worst
reason I'm asking...
now, though, I mean, that's a fail.
This is the intro. There's well, two powers left.
Jesus. Okay. Oh, my God.
Now, the reason I'm asking the question...
I think she just fell in love with him. She's like, if I go out with you, will you shut the fuck up? On and on. Oh, my God. Always with the talking you. Jesus Christ.
Now, the reason I asked the question of can fuck buddies actually be just that is that a close friend of mine left a relationship just before lockdown and has recently started to sleep with a girl on a no strings attached basis. He is adamant that no more is going to come of him seeing this girl, but I strongly disagree. We keep debating this. I strongly believe that if you fuck somebody and then they immediately get up and fuck off once the deed is done, then that is a fuck buddy, and it's hard for anything else to exist beyond that. But as soon as you start chatting, getting to know each other, spending time together, texting each other throughout the day, or anything more than let's just go have a fuck, then there is bound to be more in development. And my friend has actually already admitted that their no strings attached means that they can't sleep with other people. And they've already done more than just fuck, such as go on long walks and have days out locked down together. He is adamant.
What a sad time we live in that you're like, well, they've done more than fuck, like, oi, not weird that, stuff. A walk.
A set of absolute fucking amateurs.
What a sad time we live in that this is a debate that he feels he needs us to settle. So he's basically saying, at the end of it, I feel like my point has already been proven. He's adamant. Please, will you settle this debate? Matt, over to you.
Look, I think ultimately. I think you probably can be fuck buddies with somebody. I don't think I've ever... I've always been like a bit of a... I've never really slept with people once that much and then just pissed off. Like a few times, but I've always like had a bit of a thing with someone for a few months where you kind of do message each other and you don't really see anyone else. So I've never done it. But I imagine there are people out there that can do it, but neither of these people have achieved that. Like, the only way that a long walk is involved in being a fuck buddy is if your long walk's on Hampstead Heath and you're going to shag in a bush. Like, that's fuck buddies.
I think part of the fun of it, and I have had people who I've had, you know, not a relationship with but been sleeping with, and I think part of the fun of it is actually part of the excitement and the sexual chemistry is straddling that line between...
Oh my god! I did once have a proper one. So there was this years ago. There was this girl, and I'd be in London once a week filming a show. And the only time we would speak is I'd go to the bar after the show on a Saturday, and she'd text me going, "Where shall I come? Shall I come and see you?" And then she'd leave on the Sunday morning, and we wouldn't speak for the rest of the week. I think that's the proper. That is the proper, and that lasted for what, like 2 or 3 months? Like it wasn't a long thing.
Yeah, but that's a fuck buddy.
That is, and like I couldn't have told you anything else about, like I couldn't really told you anything about her apart from that.
Yeah, you know, I hate to say that I've got a black belt in fuck buddies, but I actually did have one. And to look at me, you would
do
never
they give
guess.
Those out?
They Should actually they, do. They do actually they? Do. If you go to certain dojos,
is it like Russell Brand presents it to you?
It is. You get a pair of kick-ass trousers, a fucking nice black belt, and basically, this was my specialty. I used to complicate it because I used to like what is known in escort circles is the GFE, the girlfriend experience, which is what you would do is you would have the fuck buddy, you'd be very clear, you go, listen, this is going nowhere. But for that time you're with them, you would sleep, you've had the cuddles, everything else that, you just send them on their way and they would know everything.
Sorry, are you just openly admitting that you slept with escorts here?
No.
I feel like we got blurry.
No, sorry.
I mean, it wasn't even like anyone got that out of you. You were very free to admit
sorry.
That then.
It's whoa, what's guilty, known in
no. Stop asking,
circle.
Right, guys?
No.
GFE.
No, sorry.
Which is the girlfriend experience.
No, let me tell you, because I'm a man of the world, no, I'm not with escorts. But in the man of the world, there are certain terminology that you used to see back in the day in porn mags. They used to say GFE, A levels, guess what that was? O levels, oral, A levels, anal, GFE, girlfriend experience, BBW, big beautiful woman, big chunker, right? All these kind of stuff. That's the terminology.
How do you know all this?
That's the terminology that you know. That's the terminology.
Does everybody know this? Do you know this?
You knew this. Don't fucking play shy. Don't. Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I don't know about that. But the problem is, like the girlfriend experience. Like, because also, like, if I was sleeping with someone, like, I really like. I also like. I'm very like. I love meeting new people. Like, I love like hanging out with people and like. My girlfriend's always going off at me because she's like, she'll be like, what are you doing today? And I'm like, I'm going for coffee with blah, blah, this person I've met 2 times. And she's like, why are you bothered? And I'm like, I love that. I love having loads of mates and like knowing loads of interesting people. So I can't do the whole fuck buddy thing because like I'll meet someone and be like, God, you're really interesting. Let's go for dinner and hang out. And then you end up falling in love with them.
You two, you should have married my wife because she's exactly the same thing.
Are you the same?
Yeah. I'm like after about 5 minutes of talking, I'm like, yeah, I've actually heard that's enough about you. Let's talk about me.
I've got loads of people that I go for a coffee with every 6 months or so. Like I just sort of pop in. I love it.
You're so much like that. And
I'm such a like little social butterfly.
That's so good for you though, I think, mentally and obviously socially, and given what you do, which is having to perform and connect with thousands of people at a time.
Yeah, like. I mean, but it's, I mean, thousands, tens of people at a time on Matt Richardson tour.
We've got our last question here before we move on. But anyway, I was basically saying it is possible to do it, but the two people in that thing have failed miserably, so don't bother.
Basically, he's just the worst person at one night stand.
Yeah. How good are you? I'm 5 years in. I've moved house 3 times. You still keep fucking turning up. I don't understand how. Honestly, she
turned. I've gone to Northamptonshire. Why are you here?
I moved house without telling her, thinking that was going to be done. She turned up like Paddington Bear in a box with a.
Do you think that I would have moved out of London to the middle of a field?
Yes, I'm that good in bed and that funny. You're welcome. Right, anyway. Right, listen.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Solve yourself. Right, I've got this last question. Hi, guys. Loving the podcast. So funny, but also informative. 15 years ago, I was living with 2 women and we were all seeing each other. Sir!
A thruple. Is this a gentleman rather than a thruple?
Yes, this is a gentleman, right? What a fucking boy. This lasted for about 9 months and was great fun. But since then, I've been in various short-term relationships. But for some reason, I don't seem to attract people my age. I'm 47 and often have older women, 10 to 15 years older, cracking onto me. Poor, that is punchy, 47. Cracking onto me. But women that age don't appeal to me. Also, the reverse of it. I have women 20, 25 years younger than me cracking onto me. And whilst they often appeal looks-wise, and I've had a few short-term relationships, it's hard to find things in common. And it's really embarrassing when I say, do you remember this? And they say I was 8, or even worse, not born. How do I attract women closer to my age? Right.
My first recommendation, stop banging on about all the young women you've shagged. Yeah. Number one.
That's what I was saying.
The problem is, mate, like, I just keep, like, these 18-year-old girls just fucking love me. Like, why are you on a date with me? Can you tell me, 47-year-old woman? Like, he's going the wrong way about it.
do you remember that sick time that I lived with two women and we were just drilling all the time? We were going out with each other. No, mate, that's not part of the story. That's got nothing to do with the story, but I tip my hat to you because what a professional.
But hang on, don't you think living with two women would be a fucking nightmare? I mean, I can't see that being an enjoyable experience.
I've only ever lived with female housemates, and it's absolutely great. Like, I love living with women. They're much better than men. Men really do any. Like, my housemate Sarah really picked up the slack in our house that I left. So, you know, I think that's fine. But also, this guy who's like, yeah, you know, like, you're right. That had no relevance to anything he was going to ask.
Yeah. It's like, I went to the moon once. And by the way, do you think you can get oil for my car at this local shop? You're like, what are you fucking talking about?
Oh, mate, I tell you what, I've been on the phone to Coutts all day dealing with my banking. Like, what a nightmare. Do you have a Big Mac or have got to wait 5 minutes for one?
What?
Like, come on.
I know exactly what the thing. If you go on a dating app, and this is the downfall of dating app for many people, is that you have to put an age bracket, right? Which basically means that you're cutting out somebody who could be perfect for you because you have to put an age bracket, which is a nightmare. But for you, it sounds fucking ideal. Get on Tinder, put in your age bracket.
Age bracket.
Yeah, you just cut everyone out.
Yeah, but also, maybe this is awful because he's obviously listening to the podcast and I don't know the guy, but like, you know, maybe he's appealing to people who are looking like the kind of guy he is, like, you know, he lived in a thruple for a while. Maybe he's a bit flash and he seems like shallow. So young women want an older man and they think, well, that's not going to be serious for me. So he's attracting women that aren't after anything serious.
Yes.
So he needs to show that he's a serious man with deep emotions. And then people his age who are looking for something proper will go for him because they're looking for a toy boy and they're looking for to fix, you know, whatever issues they have with older men. So he needs to start showing the serious man that he is.
Mate, that's a standing ovation. We can't follow that. I will just say that while we have taken the piss, what's your secret, sir? Because that was unbelievable.
You're married, Jane Pascal.
I am, but just in case it doesn't work out, how
it's
do you?
2020. Marriages take all sorts of forms. Yeah,
they
let,
do.
Let the man live.
They do. And if you're not,
polygamy is not one that I will stand for. Thank you very much.
And if any girls,
fair enough. Even if I move in and we can be a thruple.
You'll be picking up the slack in the kitchen.
Hey, mate, you can get your A levels with me.
Right, exactly. The best thing is that Chloe's one of these modern women who's bore other women. A man bigger than me with more muscles to join the party. Fucking hell, open-minded she is about that. Honestly, she'd have me in the corner in a cage while some better-looking bloke was hanging out the back of her.
I've never had a threesome with two men, and I would quite like to try it at some point.
That's like my girlfriend, who always is fuming whenever I bring up any of my celebrity crushes, especially because, for example, Cara Delevingne, always been a celebrity crush of mine. My girlfriend knows her. They know each other. They've worked together a lot. So she doesn't like that. But then we'll be watching Coronation Street, Adam Barlow comes on. Oh, I don't hear the end of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, fucking hell.
It's one rule for them.
Yes. It's a one-way street. No, but unbelievable.
Matt, honestly, it is. It's like Chloe goes, oh, God, does all sorts of things to me. Like, so hot, so-and-so. And I go, fucking hell, well, I'd knock in that one. And she's like, am I good lucky enough? And I'm like, hold on a minute. You were fucking dribbling over Tom Hardy about 5 minutes ago.
Can I please just explain this? Because all the, no offence, but all the women that James fancies are crap. And all the men that
that's really funny.
He's obsessed with like page three girls.
No, I'm not.
Can we level it up a bit? And he's always like, well, it's just the reason that I really fancy them is because I feel like I could get with them. I'm like, no, you can't because you're fucking married.
Kate Beckinsale?
The thing is, so my girlfriend is like all of my celebrity crushes do sort of fit into the. My girlfriend is very much in the same mold as them. She's just the best, in my opinion, is the best one. So I always fancy girls that, like, you know, my androgynous and beautiful and tall and so I never say. Like, it'd be awful if I was like, oh my God, I tell you who I really fancy. And it was some like blonde, buxom girl, because that isn't my type.
Not her. So
at least my girlfriend's always like, well, it's just shitter versions of me.
No, this is true. So the Kate Beckinsale thing I don't like because she looks a lot like your ex. Oh. So I'm like, well, I don't like that. So that's a no.
There we go.
But if he says like, I said Scarlett Hansen. If you pick like a blonde, curvy girl, I'm like, well,
Jessica Biel, Scarlett Hansen, I said, Angelina Jolie.
Helen Mirren is a big one of mine.
Helen Mirren, absolutely.
Yeah, she's got You know why? She looks like you'd have a lovely time together. Oi, she's got
Dame
a
Judi Dench. Dame Judi Dench.
No, I disagree with Judi Dench, but Helen Mirren, she's got a twinkle in her eye. Oh. She's naughty. You can tell she'll take you on a great night.
Hold the Dench, but take the Mirren. All right.
She's also
hold
got the Dench, you good know. Boobs, Helen Mirren. Really.
I've
good
never
boobs.
Noticed that. I just think you'd have a really good night out in Knightsbridge with her. Like, she takes you to some really nice clubs, you know.
I love
Isn't
that.
She friends with Russell Brand?
Yeah, I think they are. And and you'd be in bed by 9 because she's 80.
God, she looks true. Good for
give her a milk.
Imagine that. You'd have a lovely date. You'd go out for dinner, a bit of dancing, little smooch, and then a Werther's Original just at the end and a fiver.
Like a pocket warmed Werther's Original from a handbag. You know, or a humbug. Well, anyway, listen, we've talked enough shit for over an hour now. Matt Richardson, you've been unbelievable.
Oh, the best.
This has been absolutely lovely. I've like, when lockdown's finished, let's do this in a pub because I've really enjoyed this.
Matt, where can people find you if they want to see what you've done and what you're up to at the moment?
I mean, I'm up to... Let's be honest, very little. I've got a podcast. So me and Matt Willis do a podcast together called When No One's Watching, where we get celebrities on and they talk about their things they enjoy when no one else is around, like their weird confessions. I'd love to have you two on it, actually, if you'd like to come and do it.
100%.
100%,
absolutely have you. And I also do a podcast with the wonderful Amy Vose called Sports Virgins, where we talk about sport. So Dylan, who's our sport expert, and Amy Vose and I, who know nothing about sport, all talk about sport together, and it's basically us going, so he plays for Man U, right? That's sort of the vibe of the show.
You'd perfect. Be great on that.
Yeah, I'm terrible
doesn't
at work
know
sport. I don't know anything about it.
Oh,
as well.
Really? Amazing.
No, so I get on there. But okay, and also if you've got Instagram, they can find you on.
Look, I've got an Instagram. It's at Matt Richardson 3, same as Twitter and all that. And it's just photos of a cat, basically, these days, because I've got nothing else to take a photo of.
Well, take photos of your hot missus. That's what I'm looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, definitely.
I prefer the cat if I'm on it. She's at Sam Rollinson, if that's what anyone
No, I can't. Are. That's too I direct. Will. That's too direct. Like that.
You've got to have one degree of separation. Right,
the laser eyes will come out and be like, what are you doing? Like, it was research. The podcast has been, babe. Listen, I've been James Haskell.
I've been Chloe Haskell.
Better from you. Love you, babe. This was episode 17, I think, of Couples Quarantine. If you like it, please share, please subscribe. Tell your friends. We're obviously on YouTube as well. You can find us on wherever you get your podcast from. Hit us up on Instagram at James Haskell and Chloe Madeley.
At Madeley Chloe.
At Madeley Chloe, I should say. And we'll be back next week with somebody else.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.